Rama Yisrael Torah, Perek Zion, starts with Yisrael Das Leda Shakel Menabeis Bnei Hodam. One of the foundations of our Emuna is the Bershem Menabeis Bnei Hodam. Rama in Yud Gimel Ikrim, the Rama says that the sixth Iker is that the Bershem gives the Nevuah. The Rama defines what you need to be able to be right to be a Navi. It's interesting, the Rambam in Mirei Nebuchim devotes a long discussion to the concept of Nebuah, to the point that he almost says the opposite. He says if a person reaches these madrigas of he's a Chacham Gadol B'Chachma, he's a Gibur B'Midosov, his Yitzchus not Mitzgaber Lov B'Davar Shabbalom, he's always Mitzgaber B'Daitel Yitzchur Tomei, he overcomes the Yitzchur Hara, V'Aldei Rechava B'Nachana Ad Ma'od. So he's memula b'cholamidus elu shalom begufay. So once he starts preparing himself for the concept of the nevuah, the Rambam basically says that the natural thing is he gets the nevuah. That we have Chazal tell us in the Masechta Megillah that there were kiflaim kiyotzim Yisrael. There was 1.2 million nevi'im in the history of Klal Yisrael, and the normal result is that he should get the nevuah. If he doesn't get Nebuah, there's some reason why he doesn't get Nebuah. So it's almost like a nes that he doesn't get Nebuah. That's how the Rambam puts it down in Mirei Nebuchim. So that's Halacha Aleph. And the V.M. Malus Malus Hain, Halacha Bezi says that there are different madrigas of Nebuah, just like there are different madrigas of Chochmah. So there's also different madrigas of Nebuah. And the Gimli says that the Rambam Shemadim LaNavi B'Mara Nevuah Derech Mashal Madiyan Loi. It's shown to the Navi in the form of a mashal. He doesn't hear words. He doesn't see words. He hears. He sees a mashal. Umayad Yichokik Beliba Pistrin A Mashal B'Mara Nevuah B'Yed Demahu. Immediately he understands what it means. He doesn't actively interpret what it means. It's automatic. Right? He knows exactly what it means. But then he says that the Hanavi Efsha Shati and the Wasala Atzabad, the Hark of Libra, the Hosiv Dati, Ashiyad, the Mashal Hoyodea, Moisin Adwar Magdalen. The purpose of the Vua might be that the Hanavi should become more knowledgeable. The Efsha Shishulach La'am, may Ami Horitz, or the Anshayir, or Mamlocha, the Voinenu, some of the Vim, Ashiyasu, the Mnoyas, some Imasim, and Roim Shibidein. He might be sent as a Shliach to give information. Now, when he's sent, he's given an oyster morphis how to prove that he's a Novi, etc. But even when the fact that we believe in him is because the Torah says to believe in him, not because the oyster morphis is a valid raya. The Mus Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Perek Zion. Perek Zion, he mentions Moshe Rabbeinu briefly. In Halacha Vav, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu was different and unique, and he points out the ways that he was unique and different from them. And that's this week's Parsha, the Pesukim of this week's Parsha. But in Perek Hes, the Rambam spends the whole Perek dealing with why Klal Yisrael accepted Nevuas Moshe. What was the root of the Emunah in Nevuas Moshe? It's Rabbi Har Sinai. B'mayim Har Sinai, Sheinenu Ro V'loi Zar. We saw directly. V'neinu Shama V'loi Hakir. We heard with our own ears without, not somebody else telling us. V'hu Nigash Elohu Arafel. We saw Moshe go into the Arafel. We heard the Kol speaking to him. And we heard, Klal Yisrael heard, Moshe being told to speak to Klal Yisrael. And that's the source of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is from Har Sinai. It's a unique Nevuah. Where Klal Yisrael believes in it because the Klal Yisrael were aiding directly. Not because we heard anything, we heard directly the Russian spoke to him. So therefore, it's not shaykh at that point in time any type of ois or moifes which will prove anything otherwise, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not believed in because of the oises and moifes which he did beforehand in Mitzrayim. He did those because of the tzarech Hashem not to be able to prove his nevuah was true. And the reason I believe in the with Moshe is because we, Klai Yisrael, were Edim, Bedover, by Marmara Sinai, we saw that the Moshe Rabbeinu is the Shlich of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In what ways is the Moshe Rabbeinu the Shlich of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rambam says, going back to Perek Vav, Ma Hefer Sheyesh Bein Nevua Moshe L'Shar Kol HaNeviim. So, number one, Moshe Rabbeinu is heir of Omid. They would fall into some type of a trance. Moshe Rabbeinu was awake. And that's where they see it through Moshe and Chida. Moshe Rabbeinu was not Yerei Maluch. The Russian spoke to him directly. And that's where he saw Tumas Hashem Yabi. He was able to see a direct Nevuah. It was not a moshul. El roi hadavra al buria b'loy chida b'loy moshul. He would see directly exactly what the point is. Fine. Kol leviim yireim and nivhalim and mismoigen and Moshe Rabbeinu enokein. Every navi would go into his body would be overwhelmed by the experience to the point of that he would tremble to the point he could not function. The lashon of the pasuk talks about by shalom navi. It refers to him as the lashon of meshuga. When Shaul HaMelech became a Navi, so they referred to him as the Meshuga, because the Navi, in the state of what he was responding to, looked so not normal, because he was responding to something which they didn't see. So when you see a person, once upon a time it used to be like, you see a person walking down the street talking to himself, he's considered a Meshuga. Now it means he has a Bluetooth. But right, that meant that he was like, what's he doing? So he's having this conversation and he's overwhelming, etc. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu's not like that. And called Neviim Eini Samin B'Kol Eishi Yirtzu Moshe Rabbeinu Eino Kenol Kozman Sheyach B'Tzuruach HaKadosh Levashtoi Nevuah Sharala Minasar L'Chavim Daitoi L'Hizdam In Law. Doesn't need to make any preparation. He's always in the state of full preparation. So that's the four elements that Rambam says how his Nebu is different. But the main element is that Moshe Rabbeinu saw not through a mashal with an understanding of it, but rather he saw it directly. Now, the Gemara says that the Einstein Neviim Nisnabim Misignan Echad. The Gemara says that there was a mice that once it was a Nebu, which was a Nebu Sheker. And how they know it was a Nebu Sheker? Because we have a Masara that two Neviim, no two Neviim will say over something in the exact same style, and if he had said it over the same words as the Navi Emes, must use the Navi Sheker, because no two Navim speak in the same language, no, in the same style. So what's the pshat? So the Maril Diskin, it's a beautiful piece from the Maril Diskin, which is printed in Shuvah's Maril Diskin, which is three chalakim, and it's one volume, but it's divided into three chalakim. So if I recall correctly, to the end of the second chalak, he has over there a hadron. Hadron being like, you know, you would say like a drasha at the end when you finish Masechta Baba Basra. He says a hadron in Baba Basra. He talks about a Gemara in Baba Basra at the end of the first parak. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that over there, it's going through. It's talking about the halacha of chalukah. So it talks about the halacha of dividing up possessions. So it talks about dividing up the possessions of a person. If two shutvin, two people would be yarish together, two people would buy together a Tanakh. In a scroll form, are you allowed to split it or not? So from there, the Gemara comes to the conversation, the status of the different swarm of Tanakh, and who wrote the different swarm of Tanakh. And the Gemara goes through who wrote the different swarm of the Tanakh. And the Gemara says a fascinating thing. And Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, the Gemara says three things. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sifro, Taras Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Iyov, which is a machlokes of the Gemara, who wrote Iyov. According to one opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Iyov. And he wrote Parshas Bilam. That's the Gemara says. He wrote three things. Sifroi, Sefer Iyov, and Parshas Bilam. So the question is, what is this Parshas Bilam? So the Ritva says it can't be referring to Parshas Bilam in the Chumash, because that's already included in Sifroi, in Taras Moshe. So it must be referring to some other work that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote called Parshas Bilam, which we don't have. That's very difficult to understand, because the Gemara is all discussing, the flow of the Gemara is discussing who wrote Tanakh. So Tzal Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this, you know, interesting piece of hagiographa of called Parshas Bilam, like it doesn't make sense in the Gemara. So difficult to read to understand. So I'm just going to suggest the following. So what's talking about Pshat that each Navi sees has a different signal in how he says it? Number one, what does it mean the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw Basbaklari Hamira and they saw Basbaklari Shein Hamira? Number two, what does it mean that and the other, even though there was no Navi which had Nevuah like Moshe in Kaisel, and the Umos Olam Bilam had Nevuah like Moshe, what does that mean? How could Bilam, the Rasha, have a level of Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu? How could be such a thing? It's like, how can we comprehend such a thing? That's like the third problem. The fourth problem is this Gemara. We have to send this Gemara. What does it mean that he wrote Parshas Bilam? And the fifth thing, he says, why do we find that the concept of a Nevuah of a Navi, it's possible, the Gemara says, that a Nevuah of a Navi Lera can be retracted, but through the Urim Atumim is not retracted. It's called Urim Atumim, Isher, Meir Misterim, Umatamim Misterim. Whatever they say will come through true to be. That's his five questions. So he says, every Navi sees, like Rambam says, Amara. Umiyad Yechokhe Beliboy Pisran Hamashu. B'mara. He knows exactly immediately what it means. So what does it mean? The Bershom knows each person's neshama, and he knows how this neshama will react to Amara, and he shows that neshama Amara, which immediately that neshama will know what it means. But it's taking into cheshbon the madrega of the neshama. Now, no neshama is pure. Every neshama has elements, shall we say, of impurities. So, since it's going to be given through the neshama of the Navi, it's going to be impacted and affected by the impurities of the Navi, as it were. Now, it's not a false Nevuah, because the Rosham cheshmas that into consideration. But that being said, the Navi is not actively interpreting what the Nevuah means. But immediately, Rama says he knows immediately what it means. But the neshama of the Navi is affecting how to understand it. That also means that each person, two people go to a shir, can be two and they both hear the shir from the Tremendous Talmud Chacham, and they hear it perfectly, and they understand it perfectly, and they write it down, and they're still going to write it down differently, because each person is different. The only thing is two people writing the exact same signet, unless they're just copying the words of the one who's saying it. But over here there's no words, they're just a mara. So every Navi is going to have a mara, he's going to write the words differently. It's impossible otherwise. Since there is a human input and a human element, so that's why we understand that Nevuah can be retracted, whereas Urim Tumim does not work through this process. Urim Tumim is a direct communication, so there's no human input, no human element, and therefore it can't be retracted. It says that's the pshat. Bilam's Havamina. Bilam had a Gwaldiga Havamina that he wants to get in the Vuah of Ra for Klal Yisrael. He says, what's his Havamina? He knows Klor. He already was, at the first time for sure, he knew. Even before that, he realized the Bershom does not want to say Ra for Klal Yisrael. So he says, Bilam's Havamina Zok, the Meryl Diskin, was Pashat. Since the Vuah goes to the Neshama of the Navi, and his Neshama is black, whatever Nevuah is going to come through his Neshama is going to come out black. So you can take the nicest neshama, the new one in the world, through him it comes out black. That was his plan. So what did the Bershom do? The Bershom created a Nevuah for Bilam, which was different than every other Nevuah. It was not through the neshama. So he saw it pure. Well, there's one other person who saw the Nevuah pure. It was Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama was pure. There is no human imperfection in Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw it not as a Moshe, he saw it mamish as the perfect, clear Nevuah that it was, without any human input. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was pure. Bilam was so black that the only way Bilam's Nevuah about Klai Yisrael L'Toiv could be a Nevuah L'Toiv is by giving him a Nevuah which was just as pure as Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was going to be. So that shot that Bilam had a Nevuah in the same Adrega as Moshe. So it comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, Zot Meryl Diskin, every Nevuah that he wrote, everything he wrote in the Torah, so he writes down the Nevuah that Avraham Avinu had. So what is he? He's a secretary. It's not Torah's Moshe. The answer is Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was given to write over that Nevuah of Avraham Avinu, he saw it more pure than Avraham Avinu did. So he's writing it, the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu, beyond the original Navi who saw it. There's only one chelik of Torah that all he was a secretary, because there was someone who saw it as pure as he did already, and that's Parshas Bilam. So Parshas Bilam, well, Moshe wasn't right. It's not Torah's Moshe. It's Torah's Bilam. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote over Parshas Bilam. That's why he's Ma'aser Shat in the Gemara. Reb Shach and Avi Ezri brings this piece of Maral Diskin. He says, because of the chavivus of the piece, I'm going to quote the whole piece. He quotes the whole piece from beginning to end. He says he wants to use it to be Ma'azber the Nisoyna of Avraham Avinu by the Akedah. Avraham Avinu comes to the Akedah. Like, what's the big spritz? Bereshit tells you to take your son. You take your son. Like, what's the big spritz? The answer is that Avraham Avinu's neshama would tend to understand the nevuah not as it meant that he's supposed to take Shechter's son, because the element of human input of the love that he has to his son would force him to possibly understand it incorrectly. And that was the son of Ramavino, to realize that he's being affected by that and to prevent himself from doing that and understand the Nevuah as it's supposed to be. That's what he's mazur in the story of the cave. One of the Yudgim Likrim is understanding Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is unique. It's Pasha the Rambam says that, because otherwise, how can you go to the next Yisrael and say that the Torah is clearly every word is the Torah, which we have is the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how can we go on to have the emunah in the ikur that the Torah is immutable and it cannot change? If we don't understand, before we accept the fact that A, the Bereshit is Minava, the Bereshit speaks, because that's something which is hard for the human mind to comprehend, that the Bereshit should truly communicate with man. And once we accept that such a thing exists, so why can't the Navi come and change something? The answer is Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is so unique that it's impossible for anybody to come afterwards and change it, because it's b'chal not the same Madregas. So we need to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is unique. What's fascinating about the Rambam, when the Rambam goes to the Yudgim Likrim, the Rambam says, above and beyond understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu was unique, we have to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was unique. There's a lot of the Rambam in the beginning of Avodah Zorah, Hilchos Avodah Zorah, at the end of the first parak. So Avraham Avinu comes to recognition the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything, and he goes, Ram talks about Arichus, how he found the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The world started, they did Avodah Zorah, they fell into the world of Avodah Zorah. Eventually Moshe Avraham Avinu realizes it's not true. The Bereshit speaks to him and gives him mitzvahs. He gives him mitzvah Bris Mila, and then Yitzchak is out of the mitzvah of Meiser, and then eventually that the Yitzchak deal Yaakov, we know the Lamed, the Yashem Lamed, Master Kolan Nivim Elo. So Yaakov was given the responsibility to teach it over. Yaakov, Avinu Limit Bonav Kulam, he taught his children. He had to Levi, we know Rosh, Rashiva, Yeshiva, Lamed, Derech Hashem, Alichma, Mitzvah, Savram. He gave over Levi the responsibility to continue to teach Taras Avram to Klai Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Okay. So they were there in Mitzrayim because they started learning from Maaseiim Lavad Avodah Zorah Kemoisa, except for Shevet Levi. Kumat Kotoya Vaikar Shoshos Avraham Avinu Nekar, that which Avraham Avinu had planted was almost uprooted and destroyed. Chazvin Yaakov Litos Latos Ami Matiyasim, Klal Yisrael ended up going to the mistakes of the nations. Umiavas Hashem Oisonu, Umishomer Hashuah Avraham Avinu, Osam Moshe Rabbeinu. The Russian made Moshe. Rabban shall call it Nevi'im, Meshalchi. Our Rebbe and the Rebbe of all the Nevi'im, and the Russian sent him. So the Russian made a Metzias called up Moshe Rabbeinu. The Russian sent Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu is something which is unique. He was made special. Moshe Rabbeinu, Baruch Hashem, but Yisrael Anachla, he gave him the mitzvahs, he told the correct approach to Avoda, and again, he informed Klai Yisrael the Yisrael of Avoda Zor, and then the Ramah goes through the Yisrael of Avoda Zor. But Moshe Rabbeinu was to be perceived as a unique individual. It's not enough to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is unique, that Moshe Rabbeinu as a person is unique. So it's always a fascinating piece. So how are we supposed to relate to that? Why is it so important to understand Moshe Rabbeinu as a unique individual? This week's parsha, Miriam and Aaron understood Moshe Rabbeinu as somebody like them. Now, they were not something to sneeze at. Being like an Aaron and a Miriam is quite impressive. Right? And that's what they thought, that he was a tzaddik and, you know, everything like that, but he's like them. And the tain on them is that was incorrect. Chabad Chaim speaks about that the tain on them was that they should have spoken to him and asked him instead of complaining, instead of, they did not dan him the chavzchus. Now, we know that we have a chiyuv to understand Moshe Rabbeinu, his nevuah was unique. The place where that's presented really is in Parshas Baloischa. But Klai Yisrael really understood that beforehand. That is, they heard the Rosham speaking to Moshe in a way which was unique than any other Nevuah which existed. Klai Yisrael Pashas had that type of Nevuah during the Seres HaDibros, and they really did such a Metzius, of such a clarity of a Nevuah, that they heard the direct curl with the words, etc. And they realized that Nevuah exists, and that such a unique type of Nevuah exists, but Aaron and Miriam knew that their average Nevuah was not like that. But they did not daven l'chavzchus, and they misunderstood. So why were they not being Mekayim? That's a good question. The Isra being Kaifer and Moshe, Gamachay Yamin al-Olam, the Mephorshim talk about it. But Klai Yisrael has to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu is a unique individual. Now, if it's just a Sias, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's an ace, like, so why is it, you know, okay, it's a Hechatimsa Ba'alma to let us understand the godless of the clarity of the Muna and the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu is a unique individual, which nothing ever existed like him. But the Rambam himself uses the Lashon, a person strives to reach the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Volbo says that the reason we have to believe that, if you look at the Rambam, the Rambam says the same thing about Mashiach. We have to believe about Mashiach, that your Mashiach is a unique individual. Besides the fact that Mashiach is going to bring Bimachzer, the Rambam says he's going to give back the mitzvah HaTorah and Dinei HaTorah, Mishpatei HaTorah, back to what they're supposed to do, and rebuild the Mikdash, and bring the Korbanos, etc. We have to see him as a unique individual. The Mor says that, the way the Rama paskins, the Mor says that the reason why Bar Kaziva was killed was because, the Gemara says that, the Pasuk says by Yeshaya, says, V'haricha b'yiras Hashem, the Mor says he's so pure, that he could just smell, and through the power of smell, he can pass in a din Torah. And they tested Bar Kaziva with whether he was marach midoyim, was able to smell and judge, and he couldn't do it. So he's a shakran. He's not the true Mashiach. Now that's quite an impressive feat to be able to be marach midoyim, to be able to smell and judge based on smell. Means his body was so pure that anything which is sheker, it's smells. I mean, there's a ma'aseh with the Rebbe Chanan that Rebbe Chanan came to America, and one point in time Rebbe Chanan was very machben, wouldn't look out of his Dalai Lamas. So he was sitting in the car, and they were driving him somewhere in New York, and he asked the person, like, where are you taking me? It smells horrible here. It's a horrible smell. And they realized that they had taken him through an area called Times Square, where the moral pollution is very high. There's nothing physically bad smell about it more than everybody else in New York. But Rebbe Chanan smelled the tumah. He smelled the tumah. So you can imagine that a Mashiach can smell sheker. He can smell it. To the point he can be able to pass the dentura. And Bar Kaziva couldn't do that. But that message tells me what a human being is supposed to be. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to, there's a human being who stood and spoke to Kadosh Baruch Hu directly. With such a clarity, he was able to stand. He was able to see. He was able to understand. He was able to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu shliach. He wasn't a malach. He wasn't made as a malach. He was a human being. And that's what a human being could be. One of the biggest challenges we have in our society is we don't believe in the ability of human beings to be, to grow, to beyond our society. And our society's definition of man is very, very low. Mashiach, there's a medrash that says that Mashiach is going to be higher than Moshe. The Rama says that he will almost reach the Madrega of Moshe in regards to Nevuah. He will almost reach the Madrega of Moshe in regards to Nevuah. But in regards to bringing the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world, whereas Moshe was sent to bring Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, the Mashiach will be sent to bring Klai Yisrael out of all of the Umos. So in that sense, he's greater than Moshe. Right? Means he's a person that there is a purity in the person, and we need to become pure people. If I wanted to make a yeshiva and I would like to create bachrim in a certain stature. So I'm going to do two things. I'm going to make a set of rules which I think will be beneficial to help them work within these garas of that to reach that madrega. And I'm going to bring in an individual which has all of those elements in him, has all of those characteristics in him, as a role model, a person which we can look up to, a person which we can be inspired by, a person which we can realize it can be done. And don't define myself as so little and so limited and so nothingness. Alton McCallum said that Darwin thought man came from monkeys. Man came from the apes. He says that's because he never saw Rabbi Sel Salanter. Had he seen Rabbi Sel Salanter, he would know there's no such thing as a man coming from an ape. You saw what a human being could be. You saw that the madrega of a human being is so beyond the physical world, the limitations of the physical world. So you know that man is something unique way beyond the animal world. The world has descended into such levels of depravity and hanhaga. So for them, it says, well, what's the difference between us and the animals? And that's just a good question. It's a good taka, good takasha. Taka, look at the animals. Taka, act like the animals. But the mistake which we have is we know that that's not true. We have a masar, we have a muna, that's not true. But teef, we, Rehutner said that the fear of our generation is the fear of the Kaich HaBechira. We don't believe we could do better. Now, it doesn't mean you have to jump tomorrow, but that a person should have a dream and a plan. That there's a person who could learn to be like the Rambam says, that he's in control of himself, that he has shlit over himself. That there's not a moment where he doesn't lose his awareness of standing in the presence of the Creator. Rabbi Chanan didn't, you know, was killed by the Nazis. Rabbi Chanan was mekayim shvi'isi l'shem negdis amir. He was a human being. Rabbi Chofetz Chaim was meyid. There's not a moment where he lost awareness of standing in Hashem's presence. That was 70 years ago. Does that make him a sad person? He was a happy person. He was a content. He was a person who worked on himself. Right? But he was able to walk in this world and live in a different reality. So I'm not there, and that's not my goal right now. It's not my goal for tomorrow. Right? I'll give you at least a few days. but that we should be able to strive for something greater, that we shouldn't, you know, look at ourselves, you know, this is the way I am, take me or leave me. And I mentioned to you once that there was this fellow who came, got into a marriage. He tells his wife, listen, this is the way I come, I can't change, take me or leave me. That's how he defined himself. That's a sad comment on our reality. That's where we live, that's where we think. And the Rebbe said that's the kfira of our generation. Our generation, the kfira that we have in our generation, we don't believe in the kaicha b'chira. Right? Our society accepts that as an argument in the court. He's a victim of circumstances. There's a famous case. There's two twin brothers grew up in the ghetto. One of them became a very respectable, successful lawyer. Another one became a major criminal, involved in gangs, etc. And they said, and when he eventually was taken to court, the argument was he's a victim of circumstances. But nobody asked the kasha, what was it? His brother came from the same circumstances. He still cut the kasha, you know. Person says, you know, he has, this is his, it's his, he's inclined towards a certain types of attitudes and lifestyles, and that's it. Take me or leave me. I'm stuck. Can't change. Am I saying it's easy to change? It's not easy to change. Am I saying that the person does, that realistically that's his avoider right now is to perfect his mindless and then work on his awareness. That's a process. But to believe that we're stuck and that there's no way out and just throw up our hands and yish. We need to believe that there's a Moshe Rabbeinu. We need to believe that there's a Mashiach. We need to believe that there's people who rose to tremendous heights. So we'll set our sights for something, and we'll get there eventually. And that's a tremendously important nekuda in the muna of what Moshe Rabbeinu represents the Klal Yisrael. As the Sheikh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he represents the Klal Yisrael, what a human being is supposed to become. First of all, he brings a Yaakov Shimoni. He's also a Medrash Tanchuma. He brings Yaakov Shimoni. Then when Moshe Rabbeinu, it was time for him to be an iftar, the Neshama said, I don't want to leave the body. I don't want to leave this body. This body is so pure and so tor. I don't want to leave this body. I want to stay here. The Moshe said, Biti, come to me with me. He says, so, you know, you can imagine the Musaga B'Tahara. We can't imagine the Musaga B'Tahara. That the Neshama, who finds this world frustrating and repulsive, can say about the body of Moshe Rabbeinu, I'd rather stay in the body than leave the body. But when he talks about the Iker, the Rambam in Perichelik, he says part of the Iker we have to believe is that Moshe Rabbeinu was a unique individual to teach us that there is a musig of tahara that a human being can reach. So we're not holding by reaching it, but we're holding by approaching it. You're approaching infinity. You're approaching it. You're moving towards it. That's something which the person puts on his bucket list of what he would like to accomplish in his lifetime before he passes away. He wants to move towards that reality. I shouldn't just say this is the way I am. I'm stuck. I can't change. Slowly but surely, through a avodas hamusar, through a avodah, a person works on himself, there is an ability to grow, to change, and become a better person.